British sovereignty, because there was a planned program, a coordinated effort, to take Great Britain, United Kingdom, into the Commonwealth, this European Commonwealth, this European nation. And of course, this will be the end of British sovereignty. Once they're in, there will be no way out. And the destruction of Great Britain as a nation. And this is part of a worldwide program. They're planning on consolidating Europe. They're planning on consolidating the Western Hemisphere, and that is what NAFTA was about, and CAFTA, and the Free Trade Zone of the Americas. And they're doing the same thing in Asia, centralizing all the economies around China today. And then, of course, when every country has lost its national sovereignty and lost its currency and lost its traditions, and will be so weakened by what I feel are going to be the economic problems and the wars that lie ahead, eventually all people will eventually agree we're just going to have to give up our sovereignty and go into a new world order. And, of course, H.G. Wells had written about that in his book, The New World Order, saying millions will oppose the new world order and will die fighting it. Well, right now, of course, we still have the ability to oppose it. And Mr. Atkinson's on the front lines over there in Great Britain. Thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you tell us just the attitude of the British people? Do the British people really realize the implications of what it will mean when you lose your sovereignty as a nation?
No, I don't think they do, although they are learning slowly. Of course, those who wish to destroy us are hoping that they can achieve a final conquest of us before the people wake up, or enough people wake up to the reality and reverse it. I mean, I've been fighting this battle now for about over 15 years. I've produced 3 books on the subject, one on the destruction of the British Constitution, one on two books really, I suppose, on the general theme of how we've returned in Europe to the worst days of the 1930s and 1940s, as if we'd fought 2 world wars, both of which started in Europe, of course, for nothing.
Yeah, well, of course, this really is what it will be. It will be for nothing if Britain as a nation loses its freedom, and of course your courts will be subservient to international control, your rules and regulations.
They already are.
Right.
Except it's the European hegemony that rules over us. As yet, not quite a world hegemony, but it's a building block, as we all know, in that process.
Well, of course, the thing is that the average individual in Great Britain doesn't know, because the media is not going to tell them. And the same thing is happening here in the United States. And the great tragedy is, I talked to many of the conservative Christian leaders here in the United States.
Yes.
They have no idea what's going on. They're being misled by their leaders, their organizations.
Yes.
They belong to. And I suspect the same thing is happening there in Great Britain. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest is Mr. Rodney Atkinson. He's been fighting this battle for 15 years, a battle that everybody out there in the audience should be fighting. And I know that we have listeners over in Great Britain who are listening today, who, of course, understand what's going on and are trying to help. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Arthur Stan here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our guest this afternoon is Mr. Rodney Atkinson. And, of course, he lives in Great Britain, and he has been fighting the battle to try to preserve British national sovereignty for some 15 years now. Now, my understanding, of course, is that they've been trying to bring in regional government there in Great Britain that would actually supersede the power of the Parliament.
Of course, the plan way back in the 1930s and 40s from the German imperialist model was to concentrate power in Berlin for the whole of Europe. And, of course, to do that, they had to bypass the national sovereignties in capitals like Rome and Brussels and Paris and London. And, of course, it's exactly the same plan today. They seek to establish regional governments which report directly to the European superstate center, which of course is nominally in Brussels, but in fact of course is effectively in a midpoint, if you like, between Paris and Berlin, as the Franco-German conspiracy continues. So that's behind this thing. And of course, like a lot of these movements, there are naive people who've been pursuing, for different reasons, regional government, and those who know very well what they're about.
Well,
it's the combination of the two, plus the ignorance of the average voter, which is so dangerous.
Well, of course, Tony Blair certainly knows what this is all about, doesn't he? Of course, for our listeners out there who don't know, he is the prime minister of Great Britain. He has, of course, been intimately associated with the British Fabian Socialist Movement for many years. I know because I get all of their publications.
Yes, funny enough, when I was very young, I was at school with Blair. I was a bit older than him. I was about 13, and he was about 8, I think. In other words, I was about to leave the school when he arrived. And even at the age of 8, he was running around telling everyone how to run the school.
Well, of course,
he hasn't changed.
The thing is that these people really understand that this is the ultimate power. I mean, you take away the power from the governments, and whoever runs Europe, whoever runs the world, has the greatest power in the world. And this really is all about power. This is why so many people of great wealth are pushing these socialist concepts.
Yes, I mean, the interesting thing is that it's exactly the same individuals and corporations who supported Nazi and fascist Europe in the 30s and 40s have been the greatest supporters of the European Union and the euro and the abolition of national currencies and national governments.
Hold that thought for just a
moment. In the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Rodney Atkinson, and we're talking about, of course, this drive towards Europe. And Mr. Atkinson is saying that it is the same people, or at least the same many families, the same corporations, the same forces that were behind Adolf Hitler and Nazism that are pushing this move towards world government. And of course, those of you who will remember, Adolf Hitler used to talk about the new order or the new world order. Maybe the Nazis really didn't lose the war. Maybe these same forces that energized Adolf Hitler and the Nazi movement and the fascist movement during the Second World War are hard at work today, driving the world towards a one world order.
I mean, in Europe, the five main countries that were so helpful to the fascist and Nazi cause, France, Germany, Italy, Belgium, and Holland, are of course the center of the present Europe, and politically the center of it, the driving force. I mean, Holland provided no fewer than two full SS, Waffen-SS divisions for the Nazi army. The Italians, of course, were fascist allies of the Nazis, and of course a very large number of French supported the collaborationist Vichy regime. And, of course, one of the leading members of that Vichy regime, and indeed the bearer of one of its highest award, was François Mitterrand, who, as you know, was for years president of France and one of the great constructors of the modern European Union.
But, you know, nobody wants to talk about that sort of thing. I mean, if we talk about Nazism, why, of course, that's terrible, you know. And yet, of course, these same forces, both political and spiritual and ideological, that motivated the Nazi movement, I believe, are really behind what's going on today. But the average Englishman, the average European, certainly the average American, has no idea what's going on today.
No, and it's very frightening. I mean, and it's because it is so evil, it is because it is so powerful, that when you reveal it, you're taking a great risk. If you don't reveal it, you're taking an even greater risk, of course.
Well,
and there was one of the leading Nazis who, in the occupied part of Eastern Europe during the war, said to his superior, well, what happens if they find out that we're murdering all these people in concentration camps? And his superior said, don't worry, if anyone tells them, they won't believe it. And that's what we've got today. People just cannot believe it. Although gradually, I'm pleased to say, things are changing in this country. Even though, of course, the danger is even greater in New Europe today than it was 5 years ago. Nevertheless, there are far more British people who have read books of the kind that I and others have written, and they are waking up.
Well, how can people get hold of the books that you've written? You have a website. Would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about that?
Well, I founded it some 6 or 7 years ago. It's called Free Nations, www.freenations.freeuk.com. And we have people clocking on from, at the last count, over 100 different countries around the world. Basically, we stand for national sovereignty because we believe the nation state is the basis of democracy, because the sovereignty of the people, is democracy. And, of course, one of the great lies of these people who build ever bigger empires and ever bigger supranational organizations in order to remove conflict, all they do, of course, is shift conflict to another level. And indeed, of course, making everyone less and less powerful to resolve those conflicts and concentrating power in the hands of very few people.
And I think that sometimes these are the very people who create the wars and create the conflicts as a cover for what they're really doing. In fact, I've often looked at the
That's
first...
That's right. Well, I'll tell you a story. A friend of mine is a senior economic advisor here in Britain to the Bank of England and to the government. And he spends a lot, used to spend a lot of time traveling in the European Union. And he was talking one day to a director of the German Bundesbank. That's the German central bank. And of course, they have effectively abolished themselves now and abolished the Deutsche Mark in favor of the euro. And this friend of mine said to this Bundesbank director, "You realize, of course, that this will cause great conflict and great problems for you, creating one single currency." And this German said, "Yes, good, that's what we want." Because he knew that out of problems, out of conflicts, come more power to the center. Because then they can justify saying, look at all this chaos. We've got to take more powers into our hands to control it.
I really think that's such a beautiful example. We see this over and over again here in America, will be the increasing chaos in the medical field, all created by the government to justify more government control, the increasing chaos as far as our markets are concerned. And what's the solution? More government control. Talk about the problems with the environment, and what's the solution? Why? More government control.
Yes. And the Yes, I mean, and of course, it's exactly the opposite. I remember I lived outside a town called Consett in the north of England. That's where I grew up. And there was a company which had been the biggest steel company in the world, called Consett Iron Company, and had been nationalized, denationalized, renationalized. And because the government owned it, and the government also, in theory, controlled pollution from it, it went on polluting the local environment for decades. If, of course, it had been a private company, the government would have forced it to clean up its act. But because the government owned it and effectively fined itself for all the pollution, it just kept on paying the fines and kept on polluting. So that's the decadence of the all-powerful state.
Well, now, of course, England has not yet gone into the common currency, because once you lose your currency, you lose your national sovereignty. And, of course, what the Americans here do not realize is that is the plan. Eventually, we will have a common currency, probably for all of North America, if not all of the Western Hemisphere. But how long will Great Britain be able to maintain its currency and its independence?
Well, I think people... You see, up to now, up to the point of the currency, they were able to destroy large sections of our sovereignty and constitutional rights without people knowing, because they don't really understand the difference between politics and constitution. I mean, most of our members of parliament don't understand the difference. And they were all bullied and put under duress and generally deceived into voting for this legislation, which effectively emasculated their own power. Now, when people have the currency taken out of their pockets and something else put in, they begin to realize that that's something, because it's tangible, they smell a rat. And so this is the first time they've come up against, you know, a real problem, these people with their great supranational empire plans. So I think it's going to be far harder to persuade the British people to give up the pound, especially since the pound is one of the world's great enduring currencies. I mean, it is the same pound as we had, you know, 200 years ago. Virtually no other country in Europe has the same currency as it had even 50 or 100 years ago. So it has endured, and it is part of our life and our sovereignty. and I think they're having great difficulty in this. They will never, in my opinion, persuade the British people to give it up.
Well, I certainly hope you're right. Now, tell me, I understand you're going to have a vote sometime later this, is it this year, whether or not you're going to endorse the new constitution for the European Union?
That's probably next year, 2006. But this is another example of the way in which, of course, I mean, they've had umpteen treaties and they've had, in some countries, referendums about them. And they, the various tricks they use, of course. First of all, they don't tell you the truth about them. Secondly, they ask a question to which the answer that they want is yes. Anyone setting up a proper referendum would have two alternatives. You know, you vote for one or two. But as soon as you vote for yes or no, people prefer to say yes than no. And so the answer the government wants is the one that you answer yes to. And then this question is, do you approve the treaty which will provide a new constitution for the European Union? Now, that is a complete lie. It doesn't just provide a constitution for the European Union. It provides a completely new constitution for the British people. But they don't tell them that.
But don't the British people have any idea, or is it simply that your newspapers are as controlled as ours are, so that they really don't understand what they're voting on?
Well, funnily enough, now the one thing that has happened over the last 15 years, when I started, there wasn't a single newspaper on our side. Now, by circulation, most newspapers are on our side. They're Eurosceptic, at least, and if not positively anti-European Union. So the government, any government, has a great problem now in hiding the truth and manipulating the newspapers.
Oh, I'm really so glad to hear that you have a you obviously have a much freer press there than we do. Of course, here in the United States, we have five mega corporations that really control almost every one of our major outlets. So that very, very seldom do the American people really get the truth on most things. But at least over in Great Britain, then, you still are getting the ability then to reach the people at least with the truth about what's going on?
Much more than I thought we would at this stage, I must admit. It is still difficult to tell them the full truth, but at least there are papers, most papers now are very aggressive towards the European Union. I don't think, there's going to be a majority of newspapers against the euro and abolishing the pound. There'll be a majority of newspapers against the constitution, the European constitution, so-called.
All right.
But we'll wait and see.
All right, well, all we can. Well, at least we've got another year to rally the troops, to try to reach people, and hopefully through the Internet and shortwave, and certainly we make the facilities we have available. People can listen to our program over there 4 hours a day on shortwave and 4 hours on the Internet, because the destinies of your nation and my nation are, well, they've been intertwined going all the way back to the time of the pilgrims coming to America, because
absolutely,
the pilgrims came from the United States. People in search of religious liberty, just as English people have treasured liberty. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Rodney Atkinson, and of course he's an author. His website over in Great Britain, and of course you can get it here, is www.freenations.freeuk.com. That's freenations.freeuk.com. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the books you've written on this subject?
Yes, in the 1980s, I wrote a lot of policy papers and advised government ministers here when Lady Thatcher was Prime Minister. Then I was writing books on political economy, and then at the end of the 1980s, when I realized more clearly what was happening with these various European treaties, the first book I wrote was a book called Treason at Maastricht, which showed how, under British law, two government ministers who had signed the Treaty of Maastricht, which was probably the biggest single surrender of our national sovereignty in the history of our, in the thousand-year history, more or less, of our country, were guilty of treason according to the British Constitution. And of course, Britain has a written constitution going back to Magna Carta and 1215. It's not a codified constitution with a Supreme Court like the American one, but it is nevertheless very powerful in itself. And we proved, by reference to all the statutes and common law that existed, that these people, these ministers, had committed treason.
And because basically, by signing that treaty, they made you subservient, and even your courts and parliament subservient, to this supranational organization without the consent of the people.
Exactly. Without the consent of the people, by lying to our parliament, by suppressing deliberately the evidence provided by the Lord Chancellor, who is the head of the judicial system in our parliament, and, of course, by undermining the British Constitution, that in itself is defined in our law as treason. So that's the first book we wrote. Indeed, we had a chapter in there, actually, in the North American Free Trade Association.
And you can see the similarities between...
Yes, I pointed out that the North American Free Trade Association was an embryo version of the European Union today.
And, of course, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's obviously designed precisely to do that which the European Economic Community was designed to do when that was set up in 1957. We know how that's developed. And that, in turn, was based on the German establishment of German national state and combining their different principalities into one. They used the same technique then as well in the 19th century. So this method of ostensibly setting up a free trade area and gradually taking more and more political control and then gradually more and more constitutional control is a well-tried path, and obviously the NAFTA agreement is intended by at least some of those who set it up as doing the same to you as what's happening to us.
And of course this is really a worldwide program. It isn't simply Great Britain, it isn't simply the United States, it's all of Europe and all of the Western Hemisphere and all of Asia and all of Africa, and it really is a grandiose plan. And it seems so absurd, and yet it is coming to pass before our very eyes, and there's so few people who are really aware of what's happening.
One of the greatest paradoxes about it is that they use the word freedom and free trade to construct the exact opposite. You know, if you set up a free trade organization between two countries or three countries or 12 countries, then what you're saying is it sounds as if it's freedom that you're establishing. But in fact, you're effectively establishing a barrier around those five or six countries and excluding those outside it. So in fact, what is seems to be about freedom is really about aggression against those outside until they are then forced by necessity to join your club in order to get the benefits of your fortress, the Fortress Europe we talk about over here, which is what France and Germany are bent on and have effectively created. And of course, within this fortress, they have massive agricultural subsidies, excessive production of agricultural goods, and then they dump those goods on the third world and impoverish them.
But of course, the trouble is that if the World Trade Organization proceeds as it is, and you're forced to do away with your subsidies, and you're forced to do away with your barriers, what you will do will be impoverish your people and raise the living standards in Europe to that of the Chinese peasant. And really, it almost seems that this is what they have in store for Europe, for Great Britain, and for the United States. If we do nothing, we'll be back. When we get back, we'll welcome your calls from out across America, indeed the world, at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. Or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Rodney Atkinson, and of course he works with the people over there in Great Britain. There is a loosely aligned group of people just all working together for one purpose, and that is to maintain the sovereignty of their nation. People don't understand that you lose your sovereignty, you lose your freedom. You lose your currency, you lose your freedom. You lose your ability to control trade for your country, to the benefit of your country. You as a nation eventually will lose your freedom. And of course, as here in America, why we will find progressively falling living standards. Right now we're living high on the hog, but those days are short. They're simply buying our freedom, or we're selling our freedom for the present good times, but those times are not going to last forever. If you'd like to go to Mr. Atkinson's website, it's www.freenations.freeuk.com. That's freenations.freeuk.com. And Mr. Atkinson was saying that he had written this one book. He'd even talked about the North American Free Trade Association, and he could see that this was foreshadowing here in the United States exactly what is going on, had gone on in England. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I could see in the wording of the NAFTA agreement words which were obviously designed to lead to the next stage. In other words, not just an economic community in NAFTA, but a political community, and then, of course, a constitutional structure. I remember saying to friends in America, how would you like it if the organization that takes most of your decisions is based in Ottawa, and if your Federal Reserve was based in Mexico City, do you think the Americans would be governing themselves? And I sort of laughed and said, no, well, that's impossible. And I said, it's not. That's exactly what's happening in Europe.
And really, it's really so incredible that this thing is being put over in intelligent people, and it's only being done because the leaders lie. Now, what about the immigration there in Great Britain? Certainly here in the United States, why, the administration, whether it be Democrat or Republican, is doing everything they can to encourage unbridled legal and illegal immigration, and nothing is being done about the illegal immigration, and it's all aimed simply at internationalizing our community, creating a situation where they can have strife. Are they doing the same thing in Great Britain?
Yes, they are. I mean, there's absolutely no excuse for any immigration whatsoever into Britain. I mean, there's plenty of reasons for temporary migration for students and businessmen working for different international companies and so on, but that is not immigration, as we know. Immigration is when people come here permanently and they live here and they bring up families and they become British citizens. And there's two excuses that they always trot out. One is that we need the labor, well, which is a complete lie. because we have about 7 million people of working age who are not actually in the workforce, British people, so we certainly don't need more labor. And I think we have another 2.5 million nowadays in so-called incapacity benefit. Well, needless to say, there aren't 2.5 million people who are so disabled that they can't work, so that's another source of plenty of labor. So that is a lie. And the other lie is that we have to accept asylum seekers. Well, of course, I'm not aware of the fact that our neighbors, France, Belgium, Holland, Ireland, Denmark, and Norway, who are all our immediate neighbors, are such evil, anti-democratic dictatorships and tyrannies that their people have to flee. And of course they don't. And most of the so-called asylum seekers come from thousands of miles away, crossing about 10 or 20 different countries before they get to us. So they aren't asylum seekers at all.
And they just want to come to live in England and, of course, benefit from your social structure and all the advantages of living in a free society. But unfortunately, when you have too many people coming into your country who do not share your heritage or your ideas or your philosophies of freedom, soon those philosophies of freedom will be eroded and destroyed.
Absolutely. And they've come in such large numbers that they're, of course, and it is a numbers game. You know, you can absorb a certain amount of individuals and families and integrate them into your society. But when they come in such large numbers that they can migrate to those parts of the country and those cities where there are already tens of thousands of their compatriots, if you like, then effectively what they do is colonize you. And they have no intention of integrating.
But of course, aren't you called a racist when you object to that sort of thing? Demonized for being a sort of a bigot that you hate other races and things?
Yeah, well, that's what I say to that. I say two things. I said if mankind had not discriminated on the grounds of race, there would be no races in the first place.
Amen to that.
Right?
Amen to that. It's very true. Well,
and secondly, of course, I always say, well, were the Red Indians racists when they attacked the white man? Of course, they're not so keen to call Red Indians racists. So.
Well, of course, but they have their standard techniques of demonizing anybody who opposes this internationalist goal, and I really think that here in England, as it is here in America, unlimited immigration is part of the globalist scheme.
Yes, exactly. In other words, you can't argue for it on any other basis than it is an attempt to undermine the nation-state and democracy within the nation-state.
And, of course, the other thing is it's a very useful tool for politicians to be able to play one racial group against another. What you need is a common, you don't have to even have common race, but you have to have common culture, common ideas, and common language. And that, of course, is what they don't want. They want to be able to play one group against the other. And when you understand that, everything makes sense. Otherwise, nothing makes sense.
Exactly. Oh, yes, there is a... It's the old idea of divide and rule. You know, the more conflicts you have in society, just like that German Bundesbank director that I quoted, you know, his conflicts, of course, were economic. The ones we're talking about are racial and social, and the more internal conflicts you can drum up, the more power you can justify for the state, and the less democracy you have.
Well, as I read about what's going on in Europe, it sounds like they're really having some very serious economic problems. I mean, they're having a lot of demonstrations because they're having to cut back on the social welfare benefits that they promised untruthfully that they cannot fulfill. So what's going to happen? Certainly that Germany is having a very, very high unemployment. How can they possibly hope to accomplish what they've set out to?
Well, they can't. I mean, and even the German state admits to 4.5 million people unemployed, which is the highest rate they had since the 1930s. So imagine if they admit to 4.5, what the real figure is. Probably 6.5. And this is a very, very serious position. And, of course, it is entirely because of the activities of Helmut Kohl, the chancellor, who is no longer chancellor now, of course, but his ambition to unite Germany and then to unite Europe under German power meant that he had to buy off votes in East Germany, and with the euro he had to buy off votes in France and all the other countries that were surrendering their currencies. And the cost of that is massive unemployment.
And of course, they always have their limits. I mean, the amount of debt that they can have, they're supposed to have a balanced budget. I think they can have a 3% unbalanced budget. And there's not one state in Europe that really is able to abide by the rules that they've set out, is there?
I don't think there is any now that actually fulfills all the criteria. But in fact, even when they launched it, very few of them actually fulfilled the criterion. And those that did just fiddled the figures. You know, they had various creative Enron-type accounting, which you will recognize.
Oh, yes, that originated right here in the United States.
They call it
creative accounting.
Yeah, so that's right. Well, I mean, our own government in Britain does that. You know, Gordon Brown and Tony Blair, our Chancellor of Exchequer and Prime Minister, they find all sorts of fiddles to borrow money and yet pretend that the government isn't borrowing money. So it's quite a common disease.
Well, our telephone number is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out across the United States or there in Pennsylvania, where we had a call earlier from Roger, why give us a call if you have a question or comment for our special guest from Great Britain today, Mr. Rodney Atkinson, who's on the front lines of the battle trying to awaken the English people. And really what seems to be encouraging is you've actually had some fairly good results, haven't you? Didn't the good guys win in an effort to bring about regional government in Northern England?
Yes, well, I come from that region myself, and I hope I've contributed over the years to the general anti-European Union mood, and of course it was quite easy to link the regional issue to the European issue. And it was the biggest defeat suffered by any government, I think, certainly in Europe. Blair got a very bloody nose indeed, because 78% of the northeast region voted against his plans for regional government.
Now, that is a very, very gratifying thing to realize that, you know, even though I'm sure that there is tremendous pressure put on by the government to get that through, the people really don't want this.
No, I mean, it's the first time, really, that the average voter has come out en masse and dismissed out of hand the self-glorification and money-making plans of the political elites, or so-called elites. They're pretty low-life characters, as we know. But it was quite extraordinary. I did, in my wildest dreams, I didn't think 78% would vote against them. You've got to remember that this was a referendum like all these modern referendums. It doesn't emanate from the people themselves, as they do, for instance, in Switzerland. These are referendums designed, set up, manipulated by the government, with the government putting all its weight on one side and then defying people to vote against. But in fact, this time they voted against in very big numbers.
That's wonderful. We have to go to Roger. Hi, Roger. You have a question?
Yes, thanks, gents. I'm interested in an opinion from across the pond that no one's covered, and if you could throw in if there's been any press response to this as well, and then it's going to beg a second question. Now, is there something much to my surmise that regarding the putative gold backing of the euro, therefore its putative resistance to inflation, I'm assuming that no more than our own fraudulent reserve note do you have redeemability of that gold per se?
Well, let's just ask, European currency really a gold back in any way?
No, not that I'm aware. No, I don't think it is.
Yeah, now, you could take the euros and directly buy gold with them, but that's not the same as, say, redeeming them 20% versus
80.
No, there's
no obligation to redeem. I mean, there's no, you know, it's no official gold backing.
Yeah, so that as an aside, what's to prevent the EU's price setters from monetizing the EU by, say, as what, just one device? They could use their euros to buy gold, saw the way 20%. As the putative backing requirement, printing out another four parts of paper to the effect that they can hyperinflate the euro into the stratosphere?
Well, and when they do, of course, the one thing is that Germany, because of what had happened during the Weimar Republic, is very sensitive about inflation. So let's hope that that doesn't happen, because, of course, that will bring the whole structure of society down around the ears of everybody. Let's go to Dean calling from Canada. Hi, Dean. How are you doing?
How's everybody tonight?
Defined. Does you have a question for our guest?
No, I just wanted to throw my two cents into the ring.
Go ahead.
I'm mightily glad to hear of fellows in jolly old England, the birthplace of common law, who indeed are trying to shine the torch of freedom and show the dastardlies for who they actually are, because I here too am trying to do the same with my own internet show. And it's good to know that we here in Canada and our neighbors to the south in the United States aren't alone in the effort.
And it really, well, I'm so glad you have a program up there. Dean, I hope you can get lots of listeners, because this is one of the most efficient means. If we can just get the good people listening and believing and understanding, then we can begin to turn this around. But without knowledge, well, I think it says in the Holy Scriptures, without knowledge, my people perish.
Yes, indeed.
Anything else, Dean?
Perhaps Dean could tell his people about the Free Nations website.
Oh, I think I'll certainly try to drop it on Saturday's show. It's only on once a week, 10 p.m., but that's okay. But I'll certainly, I got it right down here, and so next time I'm on the net, I'll check it out, but I'll certainly drop a line to my fellow Canadians and whomever else listens to check it out as well. And we
thank you.
Perhaps collectively can compare some notes and have even more ammo to fire back.
Thanks so very much, Dean. Bye-bye, and good luck. Just keep persisting. The more of us that are out there getting the truth out, why, of course, the sooner we're going to be able to preserve our freedom. Bye-bye. Okay, well, I think it's exciting. You know, there really is a growing movement here in the United States, and there appears that there's a growing movement in Great Britain. Are they using any internet or radio over there as a means of reaching the British people as we do here?
Well, certainly internet sites have been very active. There are lots of anti-European Union, pro-sovereignty movements in Britain. I'm responsible for three of them, the Free Nations website, and there's also a conservatism website, which we set up about 10 years ago when it was quite clear that the so-called Conservative Party wasn't conservative at all and couldn't even sign up to the principles of the sovereignty of the British people or democratic nationhood. And then there's another movement that I and a friend set up, when was it, 5 or 6 years ago, which we are now about to relaunch for this general election. And it's a principle, I think, that people in all countries could use. And that is that we have a declaration. In fact, we're going to call it, we're changing its name to the British Declaration of Independence, which we put on our website, and we ask all candidates who are standing for election. In fact, we're expecting an election in May this year for our parliament. And we ask them, we demand that they sign up to the sovereignty of the British people and to put a bill in Parliament which confirms that sovereignty. And then we have a petitioning system for voters all over the country to say, you know, I am not going to vote for any candidate who doesn't sign it.
Well, of course, you know, the trouble with the electoral system in both your country and mine is, although the representatives are supposed to represent the people, usually they represent the power elite. They're told what to do, not by the people, but by the people above. As I like to say, we have the finest politicians in America that money can buy. What we need are people who are answerable to the people and who will know that they're not going to get reelected if they betray them.
Exactly, that's exactly it. In other words, every 5 years or 4 years, because in this country the government can decide, you know, within a year or so when they hold an election, the sovereignty comes back to the sovereigns, i.e. the people, the voters. And that's the time that politicians hate the most, because they've got to get those votes in. And that's when they're most vulnerable to an attack of the kind that we're organizing here.
Well,
we'll be able to show them in each constituency that there are thousands of votes available to the man who signs up and commits to putting a bill before Parliament and voting for our sovereignty. And if they don't sign, they won't get those votes. And if there's one thing that they are desperate for, it's power and a salary and an expense account that they get when they get to Parliament. So effectively, we're sort of saying, you know, you don't do what we say, you don't do even what you swear an allegiance to the British people when you get to Parliament. And in that case, you're not going to go there.
God bless you. Thanks so very much for being with us today. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when we want to mention some of the items that we carry here at Radio Liberty, which we hope many of you will give serious consideration to wanting to get. And one is a great new video we have. It's called Nundare College Genocide, and it's actually the talk I gave when we gave our seminar here in town, and you'll actually hear as we go into the background of how they're poisoning our children, how they're creating illnesses here in America, and people say, oh, that couldn't go on. And yet, of course, if you really study what's going on, it should be very obvious that this is what's happening. Why is it that AIDS disease has such a predilection for blacks? Well, because it is genetically engineered, and we can document the fact it's genetically engineered. In fact, somebody sent me one of our friends in government, who I will never know, but I will be eternally grateful to, actually sent me the pages from a government document where Dr. MacArthur had gone before the House Appropriations Committee on Military Affairs back in 1969, asking for $10 million to create a new disease for which there would be no immune response. And that, of course, was AIDS. And he said this is, some people think we shouldn't do this because it'll be another means of mass killing, and that's really what it is. But it's aimed at the blacks, and you have to understand that's why the disease is decimating Africa. That's why the disease is decimating the blacks, and why it is decreasing here in the gay community and in the heterosexual community. So you need to see my video. It's entitled Nundare College Genocide, because they don't. You need to get our 4-tape set on genocide. You need to get our 4-tape set on population control. You need to understand there is truly a satanic agenda out there aimed at killing as many people as possible. Now, you can go to our website and pull down my treatise. It's called The Population Control Agenda Monograph, or, of course, if you buy anything from us, we'll be more than happy to send you a copy of that. Population Control Agenda Monograph, free of charge. If you'd like those pages from the House Appropriations hearings, Dr. MacArthur, where he's talking about this new means of mass killing, when he's asking for the money to create this new disease, we have it. I mean, it's there. If you'd like, of course, to see Jacques Cousteau's remarks, which, of course, are quoted in the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991, talking about the necessity to kill 350,000 people a day, or Barbara Marx Hubbard, one of the most wealthy women in America, talking about the necessity of eliminating a quarter of the population. And as he says, that's not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the writers of the Pale Horse Death. And when the book was published publicly, it was financed by the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. If we have the pages, we'll give them to you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our program and believe that there's a problem to help us as we reach out 5 hours every day across America by radio, 5 hours on the Internet. You can listen 5 hours on the Internet, and you won't get much accomplished, but you can listen, and then, of course, you'll learn, and then you can begin to reach others. And you can set up, you know, if you're just listening on the Internet, you can set up speakers in your house, as some people do, or get the little earphones from Radio Shack, or we even have a little transmitter that we can sell you, that where you can put an FM receiver anywhere in your house and hear our programs. You can listen on shortwave, but the important thing is that you get the information, you help us disseminate it across America. Remember our telephone number, it's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of some of the things we've been talking about, like Jacques Cousteau's remark about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day, or Dr. MacArthur testifying before the House Appropriations Committee asking for $10 million so they can create a new disease as a new means of mass killing. That was just before the AIDS epidemic came out. Or Barbara Marx Hubbard talking about the necessity of killing a quarter of the world's population, those who won't evolve to the higher level of consciousness. And she's really talking about Christians, because, of course, she's quoting from the Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And, of course, she's not writing this. This book is being channeled to her by a demonic spirit she calls the Christ Spirit. Barbara Marx Hubbard, one of the most wealthy women in the world. In fact, she's on the board of directors of the Futurist magazine, and until recently, why their logo was a circle with three sixes in it. Of course, we talked about that. They changed the logo. I'm sure it was just coincidence. They're along with Robert Strange McNamara and Maurice Strong. You remember Robert McNamara? He's the boys, a man who sent our boys to Vietnam to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never, never, never be allowed to win. If you want to understand Vietnam, well, of course, you need to get our four-tape set on Vietnam. You need to get our four-tape set on No Man, on The Boys We Left Behind, or One Man Came Back. We have a Vietnam special. It'll give you an insight into the fact that the Vietnam War was not fought for the reason we were, our boys were sent there. We weren't fighting communism because we financed the communists all during that war. If you haven't seen my interview with Dr. Sutton, or with Professor Sutton, it's called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. I read his book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. You need to have that information. You need to help us to get the truth out across America. That's the video of The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. You want to get into the background of who financed Adolf Hitler? Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton. Who financed the Bolsheviks? Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. The books are available through Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to reread it. You need to get the video and the audio tape and then copy them and get them in other people's hands. You need to get the Megiddo. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes, very professionally done video. It goes into the background of the prophecies, the biblical prophecies, and how they play out today, taking us right from World War I to World War II into a World War III, which we're involved in, but they're not going to tell the American people. Not until our cities are in ruins, and then we'll blame it on Osama bin Laden, the wicked Osama bin Laden. And then, of course, you need the Megiddo 2, which is the story of mankind from the Garden of Eden right up to the present time, and I'm in that one. And I talk about Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and the Georgia Guidestones and the occult background of what's going on. You need to get the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3 hour, the 4 hour, the 12 hours. Every young person needs to see these videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3 hour, the 4 hour, the 10 hour version. And then remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. We do carry the Berkey products. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.